Take heart, get up. He is calling you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. On my short list of female heroes, I have to say that Helen Keller is near the top. As an elementary student, I had to do a report on her, and from that simple assignment grew a lifelong interest in who Helen Keller was and who she became as an adult. Helen Keller mostly lived in her own world up until the age of 6. And it was then that Anne Sullivan came along as her private tutor and then eventually her mentor. Anne taught Helen how to communicate with the world outside of her own thoughts. Helen had become an unruly child as a result of her circumstances. And early on, her parents didn't know what to do with her. And given her station in life, many thought that she should have been institutionalized forever. But lo and behold, Anne Sullivan came along and was able to break into Helen's solitary world and open up opportunities for her that would change her life. Most people know the basic facts. She was blind. She was deaf. She didn't speak up until the age of maybe 10. They learned about her in school, or maybe you've seen one of the movies of The Miracle Worker. There are several versions out there. But what most people don't know is that Helen Keller had profound spiritual insight. She may not have been able to physically see the world around her, but she was acutely aware of God's presence. In her book, Light in My Darkness, Helen wrote about how the natural world around her was vague and remote from her senses, as spiritual things seem to be to the minds of most people. But her inner mystic sense, you like to say, if you will, was able to give her visions of the unseen. She goes on in the book to talk about people's senses being dormant, and that because of this, people with sight often miss what's right in front of them. In her words, and I quote, "That is why there are so many barren places in their lives. They prefer facts to vision." As a result of Helen's physical challenges, her enhanced thought processes allowed her to encounter God in ways that most of us will never experience. Which brings me to Bartimaeus from today's gospel. He's sitting along the roadside, a forgotten person on the edges of society. He's a beggar, and for all we know, he's been that way most of his life, although he says, "Let me see again." So from again, we sense that at some point he did have sight. But at least a large portion of his life was spent along the roadside as a beggar. He's an outcast, someone whom life has forgotten about, ignored, and probably because he was a nuisance, he was ridiculed. Yet once he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth traveling down the road, he yells above the crowd. Moved by the Spirit, he won't let his voice go unheard or squelched in the hype of the passing crowd. In spite of his circumstances, he finds a way to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then, seeing the spectacle he was making of himself, many try to silence him. We heard many sternly order him to be quiet. And of course, I wonder, how did they do that? How exactly were they trying to make him be quiet? But no matter how they did it, it pushes Bartimaeus only to be louder. It doesn't silence him at all. This attempt at silencing him only stirs the spirit to be stronger. "Son of David, have mercy on me," as he yells above the crowd. And picture the scene, if you will. Jesus is traveling yet again with this crowd around him. They're surrounding him as they move from one city to another. He's making his way to Jerusalem. And along the path sit the beggars and the outcasts, those people who aren't part of that group of Jesus. But the outcasts spot Jesus and his entourage. Now, I'm sure it wasn't difficult because people were making a fuss over Jesus. I'm sure there was noise, bringing attention to themselves, as a crowd would do. I mean, let's face it, they weren't going in the middle of the night, sneaking down the road. They were walking in the daylight. There was bound to be some fanfare associated with them as they walked. And Bartimaeus wants to get the attention of Jesus. He's stirred by the passing crowd. He hasn't even ever physically seen Jesus, yet he knows who Jesus is in his heart. He knows that if only he could get through the crowd, he could have a moment with Jesus. He has to find a way to break the noise, to make himself equal to those walking with Jesus. And so he starts yelling, probably not in a very pretty way, probably in an all-in, everything-he's-got way. With all the faith he can muster, Bartimaeus shouts above the crowd, only to be shushed into submission. They sternly order him to stop, and that fuels him even louder. Like a child having a tantrum, I felt so bad at 8 o'clock, this family came in with these children, and I went on to this, like a child having a tantrum, not you guys, they were sitting over here, right? But like a child having a tantrum, you try to silence them, you try to stop them, and yet they get louder and louder. And the more you want them to be quiet, the louder they get, and that's how I picture Bartimaeus. And so Jesus calls this blind man to him. And all of a sudden, the plight of Bartimaeus becomes the focus of the crowd. Take heart, get up, he's calling you. Imagine the crowd in shock when Jesus tells the people, call him to me, go get him. Imagine the thoughts. Wait, that guy, that blind beggar sitting over there on the side of the road? Are you kidding me? Why not me? And then I pictured Horshack from Welcome Back, Potter. Ooh, 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 pick me, pick me, right? They didn't want that blind guy to have a moment. They wanted their own moment. So there we are. Bartimaeus gets called. And how does he react to the summons? Does he slide back and get scared? No, he throws off his cloak and he jumps up, springs up, and finds Jesus. With childlike excitement, this blind beggar jumps up and finds his way. Without hesitation, he somehow does that. He doesn't tell us how he does that. Did people help him? Did he just know? Could he hear him? How did he get there? Right? But he makes his way. And this image of Bartimaeus leaping up, throwing off his cloak, which means then he's either naked or very barely clothed because they covered themselves with their cloaks. But here's this person willing to let go of the worldly ties that bind him and run. He runs in preparation to receive what the Lord can give. Like Helen Keller, Bartimaeus is not hindered by the sight of worldly things. His missing earthly vision allows him to see Jesus above his circumstances. And in this moment of excitement, springing up and going, Bartimaeus shows us what pure faith looks like. He shows us an example of running to Jesus as a child, raw, expectant, and ecstatic that Jesus is willing to take time for him. And Jesus made it clear just a few weeks ago, we heard that in order to enter the kingdom of God, I'll let you get there. In order to enter the kingdom of God, we must come to him as a little child. And here is a perfect example of what that looks like. In this story, a man who has come to Jesus with childlike enthusiasm and strong faith gets brought out of his blindness so he can see the face of God. Bartimaeus has his blinders removed, and as the world opens up to him, instead of running around telling everyone of his good fortune, what does he do? He immediately goes and follows. He follows Jesus along the road. Removing the blinders is something Jesus has been trying to do for his disciples. He's been trying to get the disciples to understand that it's their hearts they need to focus on and not their worldly status. He wants the disciples to know that in order to be first in the kingdom, they must serve others. They must put themselves last. And by putting others first and putting themselves last, they can have greatness in this world and in the world to come. Removing the blinders is something Jesus wants to do for us, too. We, too, can have blinders on. Sometimes we put them on ourselves, not wanting to truly see various aspects of our lives. And other times we allow them to be put on us. Reasons like fear or struggles with self-esteem or our own desires keep us from seeing the kingdom around us. As Helen Keller points out, sometimes we, of sight and hearing, fail to pay attention to our own surroundings. We allow our senses to give us information instead of using our hearts to hear. Bartimaeus couldn't physically see Jesus, so he used his heart to hear Jesus' teachings. He used his heart to hear the call to a closer relationship to Christ. This story is also another example of Jesus making a way for the less fortunate. And to the crowd, Bartimaeus was a person of insignificance. But to Jesus, he was a believer. And when given what he asked for, this man, now healed, doesn't run about the villages spreading the word and saying, look what happened to me, look what I got. He follows Jesus. Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him along the way. As a true disciple, Bartimaeus follows Jesus all in, no holding back, all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to the cross. Unlike Peter, who refuses to believe what is ahead, and unlike the disciples, who argue over who is greater, and certainly completely unlike James and John, who ask for prominent seats at the throne, Bartimaeus follows Jesus with his whole heart, trusting Jesus and knowing what true discipleship looks like. And like Bartimaeus, we can find our eyes shut, our blinders on, for whatever reason, fear, hardship, life's circumstances, unwillingness to let go of whatever might be holding us down. But just like Bartimaeus, we too can call out to Jesus for mercy. We too can ask for a better view of the kingdom as we wait to hear, take heart, get up. He is calling. Amen.